What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm your host, Sean Thriller Smith. Today is Tuesday, June 27th, and this is the 27th episode of the Sean vs. Wild podcast. That's neat. The 27th episode on the 27th day of June. How fun is that? Not only is the 27th on the 27th neat, but also I realized that doing 27 episodes, that means I'm over a half a year in. I'm over 6 months in right now to this podcast. So I got to give a little shout out to myself here for being able to be consistent every week, putting out a new show for 6 months. I hope I develop that habit. You know, it says that you got to do stuff for X amount of months to develop a habit. Well, I'm hoping this is going to be the habit and you're going to be listening to this podcast every Tuesday or whatever day that I choose in the future. Maybe I want to move it to a different day. Who knows, guys? But hopefully you're going to be listening to it every week until podcasts become obsolete and everybody listens to Minidisc from now on. I don't know if you remember Minidisc. Something tells me it's not going to make a comeback, guys, but you never know, okay? Never say never. Records are back. Vinyl is huge right now. Cassette tape's huge right now. So, you know, mini disc, probably the logical next step. And yeah, so it's Tuesday morning. Hope you guys had a good weekend. I will tell you, I had an awesome, awesome weekend. My friends in Alvarez Kings came in from the UK. If you're not familiar with Alvarez Kings, you're going to want to go back in time, go back a few episodes of the Sean vs. Wild podcast and check out my episode that I did with Simon Thompson. You'll know it's him by the noticeable British accent. But yeah, my boys came in. They had an off day on Saturday, so we spent it at the lake, at a lake house, drinking Milwaukee's Best, really impressing people with our bods out there in the water. Big shout out to the triplets for having us to the lake house party. And then Sunday, they played a show at Zanzibar. Absolutely blown away. If you guys, if you were there, you know how awesome it was. And also, too, I got to give a shout out to Zanzibar. It's the first time I've been there since they've remodeled, and their music room right now, their live room, is absolutely fantastic. The sound was fantastic. It was a great atmosphere. So, bands, if you're listening, if you need a show in the Louisville area, you're definitely going to want to hit up Z Bar. You're going to want to play there. It's absolutely awesome. Can't say enough good things about it. Can't say enough good things about my Kings, guys. I love you, and I will see you in Indianapolis on Saturday. So if you missed Alvarez Kings, and if you're, say you're in Louisville, take that 2-hour trip. Catch them Saturday in Indianapolis. If you're in Indianapolis, you know what? Just go. You don't have to travel very far. Just go to the show. Trust me on this one. So, and then you can see me there because I'm going to be there. You can high five me, and we'll have a drink. Or we'll have several drinks. Who knows? Guys, on the show today, I've got Guerrilla Warfare. Guerrilla Warfare is an awesome band. Newer to me. I caught them last year for the very first time. I've known Foster for a little bit. It's only natural that I had to have him on the show. It's a band that I very much enjoy. And I think that any fan of, it might sound like a pigeonhole to say like, a fan of Rage Against the Machine. But if you're a fan of like 90s metal in general, late 90s metal, you're definitely going to want to check out Guerrilla Warfare. They're absolutely awesome. They got a good, message. They're socially conscious. They're socially aware of what's going on here. So, sometimes in this day and age, it's you're a little upset. And you need to get your aggression out on all the craziness that's going on in the world. This is an awesome band to just put on and vent and bang your head to. So definitely going to want to check those dudes out. I'm not going to give away everything we talk about, guys, because then you'll just be listening to the first few minutes. You're not going to listen to, the rest of the show. So, yeah. Definitely check that out. Also, check out my awesome sponsors at audiophileinc.com. Shane has been screen printing my stuff for over a decade. He can screen print your stuff too. T-shirts, tank tops, koozies to keep your beer ice cold because everybody knows it is kind of hot in these rhinos out here in the summertime. So yeah, definitely going to want to check him out. And he's going to give you the best deal in town no matter what town that you live in, because while he's located in the heart of Louisville, he's going to ship to all 50 states. And yeah, check him out, audiophileinc.com, audiophileinc.com, audiophileinc.com. Tell him Sean versus Wild sent you. Also, got to give a big shout out to Joe Brock. He boops these dials every single week. Makes me sound super awesome. Makes me sound natural and supernatural. So guys, definitely got to give a big shout out to Joe Brock. And if you've got a podcast that you want to get sounding great, or say you're a band, My dude's got a studio, so you're going to want to definitely hit him up to get some of your work done, man. Make it happen. Give a big shout out to Joe Brock here. Tell him Sean vs. Wild sent you to him too. Referred you some business. But yeah, so guys, that's going to be pretty much it for me this week in the intro. And yeah, if you like what you hear, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. It is on iTunes. It is on Stitcher. This podcast is on Podcast Addict. It's on iHeartRadio. It's on Google Play Music. It's everywhere that you enjoy getting a podcast. It's also on YouTube. So maybe you don't want to eat up all your data, or maybe, I don't know, you do want to eat up all your data. I don't know how YouTube works on your phone or whatever. So yeah, it's on YouTube also. So you can enjoy that. You can enjoy it wherever you enjoy podcasts, guys. And that's basically all I can ask for, is that if you do like it, you know, it's been a great 6 months. I want to have an even better next 6 months. And the only way I can do that is to build the brand. And I feel slowly but surely we can do that. And please don't call me Shirley. But I feel that, you know, over time we can definitely do that. Biggest way to help out the show, if you do like it, I mean, you can write a review on iTunes. That would be great. Even just something as simple as loved it or whatever. Just give me that 5-star review, 5 golden meow meow beans. That's going to help a lot. Or just, you know, tell somebody that you know about it. That would help also. I mean, that's free. Doesn't take much out of your time. Just say, oh, hey, you like podcasts? Check out Sean vs. Wild. He's located in Louisville. He talks to people locally, regionally, nationally, internationally. And he's just a dude with a dream, trying to make the dream work. I would really appreciate any help. And if you need something, you hit me up, SeanVersusWild@gmail.com. Or if you want to be on the show, hit me up at SeanVersusWild, you know, on Facebook, on Twitter, SeanVersusWildPodcast on Instagram. Get a hold of me, and let's make it happen, guys. I appreciate everybody tuning in. This is my episode number 27 with Guerrilla Warfare. Strap in, guys. It's time to get wild. So you're just not a KISS fan, is that what you're saying?
No, I don't really like
I can't believe that.
I mean, I like Detroit Rock City. Yeah, they have a couple songs that I love.
That's the one.
The movie. I love the movie.
See, Trevor doesn't like KISS either.
I do like the movie.
But I always give him shit. Same as what just happened right here. He's like, man, I'm really into Star Wars. I'm like, I like it. It's okay. It's right. Not all that great.
Right.
And then he's just like, well, dude, KISS sucks.
That's pretty much my defense.
Like, come on, dude. Hey, Detroit Rock City, that's a great movie.
It is. Fantastic.
I saw that in the theater.
Really?
It came out in, like, I don't know, 99, and I was probably 13. But it's like one of those things where, like, my uncle knew I was really into KISS, so we went and saw it together. And it's like that awkward moment, you know, when you watch like adult humor with actual adults.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I don't know really how to. I don't really know how to go about this, per se.
Hilarious.
So, yeah. Guys, in the studio today, first and foremost, welcome to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm your host, Sean Thriller Smith. In the studio today at the Smithsonian, I've got Guerrilla Warfare.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself, Guerrilla Warfare.
My name is Garrett Hood, and I do the drums and the vocals in Guerrilla Warfare.
I'm Foster. I play guitar.
See, I don't normally ever have anybody introduce themselves, but for some reason I thought maybe I'd
rock
have
and roll.
Guys, I have Foster and Garrett from Guerrilla Warfare here.
Tight.
And we're about to rock and roll.
Yes, exactly.
Dude, guys, well, what's been up with you guys? What's been new? How was that Norma Jean show?
Norma Jean show was
because I just had Brent from Greyhaven on here to talk about, like, talk it up before the show happened.
Yeah.
So you can give me the play-by-play on how it went down.
Yeah, it was really good.
We walked in and the venue was way bigger than anything we'd ever played in, so it was definitely interesting. So Art Sanctuary should be a really cool spot for Louisville in the next probably like year or so.
Yeah, they're doing the Deadfest thing there.
Yeah.
Are you guys playing Deadfest?
No. We'll be on tour.
We will be on tour for that, actually. Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. So when you say it's a big place, do you mean like...
It's kind of like a warehouse almost whenever you walk in. The ceilings are super high. It's like very, it's almost like a box, like a big box.
It's really big. Yeah.
Like Expo 5?
Yeah, kind of bigger.
Like not that, probably not as long.
Yeah.
But
could you park an airplane in it or something?
Yes.
A small one.
Yes.
A small airplane.
They have a giant industrial garage door that I'm assuming that the only reason why they would have that there is bring semi-trailers into the building.
So, gotcha.
And that was just the main area. They have the whole huge place where they have all the art and everything also.
Yeah. But
that's insane.
It was an awesome venue.
Was the sound legit?
good? Or?
Oh, yeah, sounded great. I mean, I think Norma Jean backlined the entire show, so I think a lot of that was them. I'm not 100% sure about that.
Well, they just have like 14 friggin' cabs for some reason.
pick your favorite one and we'll just work right off that.
But no, the show was really cool. The turnout ended up being really good because I was concerned about that, as big as the venue was. Like, it was
What is that there? A little
Baja Blast.
Okay, guys, right. You got the Baja Blast in the podcast right here.
If you go to Taco Bell and don't get Baja Blast, we're not friends, okay?
Dude, I went there exclusively for Baja Blast. I didn't even eat.
I go specifically for the Baja Blast.
I was just thirsty, man.
You know, I'm not into Baja Blast. Look at us. We are just two opposites right now. Three opposites. I like Kiss and I hate Baja Blast.
Hey, if it makes you feel any better, I don't really like Kiss and I don't like Star Wars, so.
Hey, you're
okay, man, you haven't
in my
even
book.
Seen Star Wars.
Oh, dude, the gauntlet has been thrown down. Apparently, yeah, okay. He's never seen it.
I've never taken the time out of my life to do that. So.
It's fucked. But we can all agree that a nice cold beverage on a hot day like this, we got our PBRs, we've got
sponsored our Coors Lights,
and our Baja Blasts, guys. So, yeah, so the venue you said was just gigantic, but it sounded good.
Sounded very good. The turnout ended up being pretty good. Whenever we were playing, there was less people there, but it ended up filling out. So I mean, it was all good. We had a great time. Sold some merchandise and covered our expenses to get there. The 20-minute drive
right.
down there.
So we played like 10 minutes.
The 10-minute down, 10-minute right. drive down the road.
Plus, Grey Haven's the best band in the world.
Oh god,
dude, so
fantastic,
old
dudes.
Girl. Seriously, like,
oh, I love Old Girl, like, too. I haven't thought about them. I gotta get them on the podcast.
I've been sleeping on that band, and that's like the second time I think we've seen them, because we played with them at the house show that for the Katie Rowe benefit, like at the Grey Haven.
They didn't play the Norma Jean show.
Huh?
They didn't play the Norma Jean show.
Oh, I'm talking about
Foxbat.
Foxbat.
Foxbat, yeah.
Sorry, guys. Foxbat, I really like your band.
Here's the deal. We're going to recount the statement. Old Girl, we don't even like you all that much.
Yeah, Old Girl's terrible. Worst
Nick
band ever.
Nick sucks at guitar.
But Old Girl, if you do want to do the podcast, please hit me up, please.
Norma Jean and Old Girl, I really like both of your old bands. I'm sorry. I just confused your names for a second.
And Foxbat. You mean Foxbat, not Norma Jean.
No. Oh, my gosh, man.
Dude, I love Foxbat. Actually,
Clay
is my neighbor. Clay just lives like one
really?
Block away
I
from
love
here.
Clay.
So he's the first,
really good dude.
First guest on the old Sean vs. Wild podcast.
Oh, Hark the Herald over here.
Oh, Hark the Herald, man.
Back in the day.
You know what's funny is the other day that you mentioned that, the other day I'm over at Clay's house and I was like, hey, I don't know who it was per se, but somebody texted me from a phone number that I had saved in my phone as Hark the Herald. and I was like, what is this all about? And I was like, do you know this number? And he was like, yeah. It's me. So
that's
the whole time
awesome.
I had Clay's number still saved from a decade ago
right.
on my phone as
Hark
the Herald.
Hark. That's ridiculous.
But yeah, Foxbat, killer.
Yeah,
absolutely
band.
Killer band.
Yes, Foxbat, good band. Old Girl, also good band. Norma Jean, first time seeing them, also very good band. I like them.
So for the record here, Garrett loves bands.
He's a big fan.
He's a big fan of all bands.
I like
if you
most
have one,
people's
he likes
band.
It.
If you were at that show the other day, loved it. Loved
promote,
you the other day.
Great job
promote,
all around,
and
guys.
Even if you didn't, where, even right. if you weren't at the show, he loved
something,
that too.
Something somebody said to me a long time ago is promote what you love and not what you hate, and that's one of the best things the best pieces of advice anybody's ever given me. Nobody can say anything bad about you.
Yeah, exactly.
You just love everything.
Well, what's your favorite? What is your favorite? What are some of your favorite bands and stuff like that? Just in general, they don't have to be local.
Oh,
just
favorite bands in general. Number one is Rage Against the Machine for me.
I can definitely tell that.
Yeah,
Guerrilla Warfare loves Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Mm-hmm. I love. I just got to see them at Bonnaroo about a week or so ago, and that was really cool.
You know, I actually got to see Red Hot Chili Peppers just one time, yeah. but it was at Bonnaroo, yeah, yeah. and it was like. 2012, I think I went.
But that was sick.
Their live show was way better than I thought it was going to
be. Oh,
sure.
Yeah. I watched a lot of it.
I had kind of YouTube. Low expectations on how good they were going to be live, and they killed it.
No, it was amazing. I got to watch a Chad Smith Flea like bass drum solo in person, and it was. You can check that off my bucket list now. That's
yeah,
amazing.
That's badass.
It's insane.
So a drummer talking to another drummer here. I always thought Chad Smith was really
so
good.
So pocket.
But when I saw him live, it was next
Dude,
level.
He's
how
one of my
good
favorite
he
drummers.
He's
to
like
watch
the
play.
Most like locked in, like and just like super like grooving. Smooth feel, like mm-hmm. just like grooving. Like I
exactly.
mean, like these are all just like drummer words that I'm just throwing out here.
right.
to, like, make
it's
no
very
sense to other people.
In
but
the
I mean,
pocket.
Like, it's just like
right.
he's just very solid. He's like a human click track, and it sounds. sounds like smooth and natural when he's doing it too. It's not like locked to a grid.
And he hits hard, man. Yeah. He's a heavy hitter. Yeah. And that's, I always like that too. Because you can be like super, super good, but if you just like barely like
kiss
the drums.
I hate that.
Well, see, I teach drums right now, and that's like one of the biggest things that I'm trying to teach people is like, hey man, just like, it's okay to be mad at them. Like, just right. Hit them like you're mad. Like, just, it's okay.
I tell kids that all the time because I teach rock school. I'm like, dude, you're not going to hurt it. Yeah. You're supposed to hit it.
Yeah. Did you do rock school at Mom's Music?
At Maxwell's.
Oh, sorry. It used to be called Mom's Music.
Formerly known as Mom's Music. There's still one more.
Same owners. Yeah. But yeah, I remember rock school. You want to know a fun story? Yeah. I'm going to tell it on the podcast. I don't know if anybody cares.
Sick.
Go but, you know, Mark Maxwell plays guitar and stuff.
Who's that? Never heard
of him. Of course. I work for him 6 days a week.
I remember seeing like a show in their theater stage area where like, it was for rock school, I believe. This was back in like I was in seventh or eighth grade. And he was playing, like they were playing or whatever. And he goes to do this like rocking guitar spin, right?
Oh, no.
And he just throws that guitar, and it just sails across.
I'm gonna talk to him about this tomorrow.
It just takes out like three mic stands,
dude. That is awesome.
But that's great.
That's
fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
How many times has that happened to anybody out on the road?
Right.
That's some America's Funniest Home Videos type stuff right there. Send that in.
We used to always say no guitar spins ever. That was like the first rule of our band. Hey man,
sips of the Baja Blast,
right? Bro. I want you to enjoy it. I want the listeners to enjoy it.
Right, apparently.
I think people know how good Baja Blast is or isn't.
Right.
So make your own judgment about Baja Blast, guys.
Get back to us in the comments.
I really don't drink a lot. Like, I mean, like honestly, like, I didn't drink soda for about like a year or two or something like that. And then the only my line was Taco Bell's Baja Blast. That was my cheat day.
Right.
Like anytime I'd go to Taco Bell, I'd get soda. So.
Yeah, I got that Baja Blast like really just ruined your life because you were doing so well and not drinking soda. And now look at you. You probably got three.
Because it's like 15 Cokes.
Yeah. I'm on three Baja Blasts a day, guys.
And now I'm just back on my bullshit and drinking whatever I want and beer and soda and whatnot. But we're not smoking cigarettes anymore, so it's good.
There you go, dude. Yeah.
No cigs for G anymore.
Don't give me one ever.
Ever.
Punch me in the face if I ask for one.
You guys heard it first. Right here on the Sean Versus. This is an exclusive, guys. It's going to... So, show went well. Well, what do you guys got coming down the pipeline here in the next month or so? Got a tour coming up?
Doing a tour next month.
Yes, sir.
What are the deets? Give me the hot deets. Give the listeners all the hot deets on stuff like that.
The official dates are not actually released yet. I believe it starts...
Another Sean versus Wild exclusive.
Right.
Yeah, the official dates are not actually released yet. I believe it starts in North Carolina, and then there's about three or four dates in Florida spread around. There's a big show in Florida that we're doing with Sabella, Unity... and a couple of other bands that should be really cool. I'm really excited about that one. And we're going over to Mississippi, and I think we play Louisville on August 8th. So August 8th for Louisville is the date.
Hometown crowd, 8-8. Yes. Put it in your fucking Google calendar right now.
Bam.
Yes, sir.
Bam.
And then we'll be in Texas for a good bit of it, too. I think we've got three dates in Texas, I believe.
Have you guys ever... have you guys been to Texas yet?
Once.
We have been to Texas. We played Texas on the last tour that we did with Dapon.
Amarillo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you go to Amarillo...
It's very flat.
Someone skateboarded on a broken chair in the pit.
It was wild. Nice. It was very insane.
Here's a fat kid tip. Next time you're in Amarillo, you're going to want to go to the donut stop.
Okay.
All right.
I will remember this.
It's called the donut stop, and they have cherry glazed donuts. So it's like a donut, but it has like red... cherry frosting, kind of like candle wax.
Yeah, that sounds
delicious. All right, I'm going to do that.
John Brayboy's family's from Amarillo, and he made us go every... Like, literally one time, we were just driving through the vicinity, and we stopped to get donuts and then get back on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
And they're very tight.
My 21st birthday will actually be when we're in Texas. Which is kind of bittersweet, because, I mean, like, I'll be on tour on my birthday, which is really cool, but at the same time, like, no offense, Texas, it's really flat there. And, like, there's not a lot of scenery. It's very hot. And the people there, they're nice, I won't lie, but it's just very hot, okay?
It's very hot.
Don't get me wrong. Like,
we might melt out there. Yeah. We're not built for that sort of thing here in the Ohio Valley.
Nah.
So how did you guys, let's do a little backstory.
Okay.
Just because I've seen you guys play, and I've talked to you before, Foster, and I remember you were kind of telling me that this was like a project that you guys formed while you were still in college.
Yeah, well, what happened, me and Garrett have been playing together for years, really long time, and we just like started jamming, and he was planning on moving to Atlanta. So I also moved to Atlanta.
Okay, here's what happened. We started the band. I wanted to go to Atlanta to get better at drums. Basically, was what it was, because I saw AIM, Atlanta Institute of Music, and thought it was like the coolest thing ever. Right. And like went and checked it out, and was like, I'm sold on it. Need to go. Need to get better. Well, I approached him with this idea, and was like, hey, we should do this. It'll be a great idea. And I was like, how much do you really want to be an English teacher? Let's be honest. So I was like, I know you're like 2 years into you, but like, how much do you really want to be an English teacher? It sounds way cooler to rock out for the rest of your life. So that's what the plan was just try and rock out. And I convinced our vocalist of the band at the time to come along with us, and he did the guitar program with us as well, and a buddy of ours named Dan
also came. He just came and hung out in Atlanta. Fuck it, I'll move, I don't care.
Yeah, he said fuck it, just came down.
So but, we live with four people in a two-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, four in a two-bedroom, and lived there for about a year and a half, and I mean, it was definitely interesting, but we made it work. I mean, paid all our bills, paid rent, I mean, covered it the entire time we were playing shows and doing stuff, which was the biggest thing that we had a problem with, was we pretty much moved our entire band down there, minus our bassist, which...
We've had a rotating list
of bass players over the last 2 years, which, sorry about that, just kind of the way things worked. But, right,
dude, that's it. Band Trevor life
forever.
In general.
Yeah. Trevor for eternity.
Yeah. Hopefully, like, yeah, Trevor's, like, locked in now, because it's just... It's been like a hell of a time trying to like lock something. We had a fill-in bassist for a while, and we made him a permanent part of the band, and like he ended up not being able to get out of school, and just the way things worked out. Yeah. And Trevor's here now, and like we have him in the band. And
I'm going to give a big shout out to Trevor Neely, which is probably not the first time I've given a shout out to him. Or the last.
Will not be the last.
On the Sean vs. Wild podcast. The Trevor, I need to get you on the show.
Yeah, come
again,
on.
More people that need to be
we
on the show.
We got to talk a bunch of shit so you can come on and redeem
Who actually
himself.
Knows Trevor's name is Boggs. Trevor, T-Boggins.
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 Yeah, I got some funny Trevor Neely stories.
I want to get Trevor Neely and Juwan Dunn from Skyscraper Stereo.
He's hilarious. Cool.
He hates Star Wars.
I know.
Trevor
he does.
Loves Star Wars, and I just want to be the mediator. I want
That's
to be
awesome.
like a debate or something like that. Oh, is Star Wars good? And go.
Man, Trevor is the man, though. I called him about. Excuse me.
A month the beers. Before tour. These PBRs are just making
right.
the beers.
And I had Chinese food because I hate my body. I called Trevor about a month before we left. I was like, hey, buddy. What are you doing in like a month?
And thank
He's like,
God.
Probably fucking delivering pizza. Like, yeah, probably. You want to go on tour and not deliver pizza? Like, you want to come play bass for a tour? He was like, yes. And then I went over to his house like a week later and he learned all the songs on his own.
Fantastic.
Like, so sick.
Thank
so he
you.
Went and it was the greatest thing ever. And he drove every day of tour. He drove for like the probably 65% of the tour out of six people in this band.
With that being said, though, I will give a standing ovation to both bassists we've had in the band. Alan, we still love you, okay?
Right.
We're sorry.
You're my best
Alan's
friend,
like
Alan.
Off like in him and like his roommate bought an RV and they're just traveling around the country doing like crazy
just
shit.
Just doing into the wild.
It's, which is awesome because like that's the greatest thing in the world
that
I could ever hear.
So Alan.
But Alan literally learned our set like in 2 or 3 days time because our initial bass player like dropped off or like was supposed to come down to play the show with us, our first show that we booked in Georgia.
We had a fill-in and the fill-in told us Friday that he couldn't do the show Sunday.
Yeah.
So Alan
Oh, that's convenient.
I called Alan because he drove through the parking lot of our apartment complex listening to like As I Lay Dying one time.
Something
he's like, hey man, because he's super redneck.
Super country. Yeah.
He literally was like, hey man, you like to rock? He's like, you like metal? I was like, yeah.
Oh my God,
I like, got my phone number. I called him the next day. I was like, hey, we need a bass player for this show right now. He's like, all right, man.
Brother,
I think my roommate has a bass somewhere.
Country Al is the man.
Jesus.
But hell yeah. Trevor also smacked it out and learned all the songs in an incredibly short amount of time.
And
so,
he just made tour so fun.
Yes. The greatest human being and the most fun person to be around.
Dude.
Did you see the other day that Kevin, you know, Trevor just came back from vacation.
Sure.
Like Kevin Nash's son.
Oh my God. I told him he needed to get out
too
sweet
good.
Of
this
the
is
window,
too
right
good
though.
To make up. So apparently like... I don't know the context of Kevin Nash because I'm not as much into wrestling as Foster is, But apparently, pro wrestler Kevin Nash showed up at this place where his son is apparently like
Big Daddy Cool.
Yeah, right.
showed up.
His son was apparently working at the motel that Trevor was staying at, the hotel that his parents were staying at whenever they were in Florida, and they.
He got turned down for a job.
He got turned down for a job, basically. Kevin Nash shows up very irate, and apparently it's a normal thing that happens there.
At this motel,
the cops came.
Kevin Nash and his son fuck up the motel staff and call the police, apparently.
He gave them the jackknife powerbomb.
Yeah, exactly.
Foster, I'm glad to hear that you're a wrestling fan.
I am a wrestling fan.
Dude, I'm a ride or die wrestling fan.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
Me too.
Do you watch it now?
I do.
Do you watch NXT?
I don't watch NXT very much.
I would highly recommend you checking it out.
I like the glorious.
Yeah, Bobby Roode.
I like Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode's a badass. He looks like your dad.
He looks like, yeah. He looks
just
like everyone's dad.
Dad. Exactly.
I always said he looks like your brother-in-law. Like, he just looks like somebody that would be your brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Or an uncle.
Yeah.
I don't know. But so, yeah, wrestling. That's my jam right there, actually. But yeah, so... Big shout out to LT Boggins, though.
No,
yeah,
man.
He's a great dude. And also, if you can find anybody that can drive on tour, that's like a big plus.
Yo, for real, that dude
Seriously?
Can drive for days at a time.
He's unstoppable.
As long as you don't pull over. If you can just keep going, he won't get tired. But
it's
if we have
crazy.
To get gas, he's going to like knock out.
I did watch Trevor like neck an entire pack of cigs, like... on one drive to Colorado, though, which was crazy. Like, I mean, granted, the drive was very long, but it was smashed in, like, less than, like, 10 hours, probably.
Yeah. Dude, we became driving pros back in Uh-Huh, Baby, Yeah. Like, we would do tours that started in, like, Los Angeles, mm-hmm. which is a 30-hour drive, and we would knock out 30-hour drives in, like, 34 hours.
Yeah.
Where it's like literally, exactly. Yeah, like the only time that you would stop would be for gas and then food. But most of the time we were like, just get food wherever we stop.
Yeah. We've barely ever stopped to like sleep. That's like almost a thing that like never happens. We only stop like once we are at the place we're going or once
we
we're
gas
like,
or food or
something. Pretty much.
Yeah. We always just rotated drivers. Like, so two people would be up. And two people would sleep, and then just rotate like that.
And plus, it's just way more stress-free, like, waking up and you're already there at the venue or you're already there in the location that you need to be. Like, you just might as well just, like, get it over with and get it out of the way rather than doing it on the back end. So.
Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, what the heck's been going on, dude? You know, Foster, I got to talk about this. I made a little comment off the record, OTR, if you will. And, you are fantastically dressed. And every time I see you, you're fantastically
That's
dressed.
Funny.
So what's the secret, man? What's the secret to looking cool in this day and age?
Shop at Target.
Have your mom buy you clothes like once every 5 years and then just wear those clothes in every combination.
Just have your mother pick
it. I'm just kidding.
Foster, you're such a good boy.
Yeah, go to Target, man.
Hey, shout out Foster's mom. Very nice lady.
Very lovely very nice lady, man.
Yeah, Marsha's cool.
Marsha's a
like
cool
her.
Lady.
She's got great taste and style. Yeah. I like what she's done here.
Yeah,
I like what she's done here. All right, guys. Well, I'll tell you what. Here we are a few minutes into the podcast already. And you got a song that you have provided for. You have prepared a piece for the show today.
We have.
Called Crucify Me. Why don't you give me the rundown? Give me the deets. I'm all about the deets,
before
guys,
a show
in case
one
you're
day.
Curious.
We were like, hey, we need another song because our set's not
Yeah,
long
we
enough.
Needed another song because our set wasn't long enough.
And I just played some bullshit and we wrote, made it turn it into something pretty cool.
Made something that sounded tough and it was nice and groovy and like had a solid, like, something that you could throw some bars over top of. And Chan had some lyrics ready and basically, like, the subject matter of the song is... people that want to use religion and take advantage of the people that are naive enough to believe if they give enough money, they can buy their way into heaven, to the church, that is. People like Joel Osteen and Joyce Mayer that pretty much just fill their pockets. And
Right,
like,
exactly.
Just like,
it's
I
a
mean,
business.
It's
private
a business.
Private jets for Jesus.
Yeah, private jets for Jesus, man. Like, it's fucked. Like, it's insane to me. But yeah, basically the song is... fuck these people.
Right, exactly.
They stand for this shit because I don't. And like,
I think that it's a like having a religious something or another, like a having something that like brings your life together or whatever, gives you some sort of clarity at the end of the day is awesome.
No,
yes,
and
100% agree with that.
And I just think that the people that are shitty enough to abuse
yes.
that, like to take advantage of that,
right, exactly.
to make a dollar. It's the worst.
And see, like, the worst thing about it is, like, that's kind of with anything, though, is if there's something there to help people, or if there's, like, an entity that's made for people to be helped by, like, for example, government assistance and things like that, there's always going to be somebody to take advantage of that system, but you can't, like, entirely discredit the whole thing because of those people. And I'm not saying an entirety religion is bad, but I'm saying the people that want to take advantage of it and use it for shit like that, fuck those people.
It's the lowest, it's just like the lowest of the low.
Yeah.
Kind of. Because, I mean, you're just like taking advantage of, like, I mean, people just think.
At least like old people that they're taking advantage
exactly.
of.
Exactly. Yeah. People that don't like have really the money to give.
They're not hip to Google. The people that either turn it on fucking basic cable at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
When their dialysis machine is going off behind them. Like,
well, you know,
maybe this guy will help me.
I just feel like that's kind of a common thing. It's like the people that like don't have it to give are more willing to give.
Yes. And
to
that's help. Like the most fucked up thing about it.
Yeah.
Is because it's just like these are good people.
Right. Yeah.
That are just getting fucked.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, like, it's for lack of better words. Sorry. I really enjoyed that statement. Sorry. Right.
Yeah. But yeah.
Say a lot of F words around here.
Yeah. It's cool. You know what? It's the internet. You can say whatever you want.
Yes, you can.
And I will allow it.
And this is guerrilla warfare, and we say what we want when we want. And if you don't like it, get over it.
Yes. I would.
I just
bleep it out.
Okay, Epic Mealtime was great for that. That was like the one thing that made Epic Mealtime funny for me was the chicken noises in the background and that's the Angry Bird sounds.
All right, guys. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's, without further ado, let's go ahead and dive right into the song. So this is Guerrilla Warfare with Crucify Me.
You need to open up your eyes and shut your fucking mouth. We'll be right back.
All right, yeah. Listeners out there, crucify me by the Gorillas of the Warfares.
The Great Gorilla Welfare.
That's our new band name.
Yes, sir.
By Gorillas of Warfare. Dude, having a band like Uh-Huh Baby Yeah, people mess that name up, just flub the name.
The best thing anyone can ever do for me is tag my band in a flyer. Tag us on Facebook where they see the correct spelling,
yes,
and then still fucking spell it wrong.
That's my favorite thing.
On the flyer. But you see the name.
Our name's literally there at the same time. Yeah.
It's still the Gorillas of Warfare.
That's like the people that'll like message you on Facebook and spell your name wrong, like, hey Garrett, and like spell with like one R and like four T's or some shit. Like,
right.
How'd you get this?
How did you do this? But yeah, listening to that song, I gotta say, I guess the safe bet would say definite Rage Against the Machine vibe.
Oh, yeah.
But I also feel, to just go a little bit deeper than that, I feel like that would just, that kind of sells you short if I would just say, hey, this sounds, you know, it has a very Rage Against the Machine vibe. Because I picked up a lot of 90s, especially mid to late 90s, very early 2000s metal in there. Which
Definitely.
Is, that's kind of a new direction, because I don't know, there's not many bands that out there that I've listened to that are actually going in that route. I know a lot of hardcore, a lot of metal,
right on.
Or somebody wants to be more new metal, or somebody right. wants to be mm-hmm. more 80s metal or power metal or whatever it is. But that's a kind of an uncharted, me at least. Like, that was an awesome time in my life too. Like the music, I love that music.
Right.
So I don't hear a lot of that, a lot of new music in that vein. So it's a treat for me.
Awesome. Thank you. I love it, man. So. Thank you very much. No, I mean, like, as far as like the metal, like hardcore influences, I know that Foster is really into Terror a whole lot. And I mean, like, a lot of our song structure and stuff, like, kind of comes from influence of that, and just like classic hardcore bands and things along those lines, or just like the throwback bands,
especially right. Ace of Ribbon, Blood Drive.
Oh, yeah,
that
man.
Was my biggest influence. I told Cliffy I would sneak that in at some point.
Perfect.
I told him we were doing
hey,
that.
Hey, shout out Nick Dittmeyer. If you're not busy with the Sawdusters, right. Let's talk about Suburban Blood Drive one day,
right?
So, actually, I saw an Ace Suburban Blood Drive t-shirt.
Did you really?
I hung out with Devin yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And Devin and I actually are still really close friends or whatever. So I see him pretty regularly. And his wife has an Ace Suburban Blood Drive t-shirt that I have not seen in...
That's beautiful.
15 years, probably.
That's
so
amazing.
Ironically, on the note of like influence of the song or whatever, it was like, went to music school and did all that fun stuff or whatever. Well, this was like the first song that I like tried to challenge myself like on drums.
The drums are fantastic.
Like the groove, like throughout the verses of the songs, is like the one thing, like whenever like people see that live, they're like, what are you doing? And it was like, and like Jordan was even like, whenever we recorded the album, he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, dog, like just let me play it, and like I'll show you what I'm doing, and like, it'll be cool.
It'll all come out in the wash, guys. Trust
that was
me
like the one that I tried to like challenge myself with, which was a great idea at the time, and now that like I'm doing vocals for the band now, it's kind of like, ah, oh, shit, I set myself up for failure on this.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I've gotten it down now to where I can do that song and like do the vocals at the same time. But let me tell you, it was a hell of a time to try and learn that together.
I should have done something different had I known I would be singing these vocals.
Oh my gosh! Right. Yes, 100% would have.
Did you record with Jordan Haynes?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Man, that's a name that just keeps coming up on this podcast.
Love Jordan.
I had him on the podcast.
Really? I talked about Jordan for like 2 hours last night.
Really?
Yeah, me and Michael Sanders just sit around and talked about him for like 2 hours.
Dude, awesome dude. Awesome producer. Awesome engineer. Makes the album
Stupid
sound good.
Stupid guitar player.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I couldn't say enough good things about Jordan, yeah. Honestly.
Jordan
Fantastic
Haynes,
human being.
Really, if you're still listening to the podcast...
We love you.
We love what you've done here for all of the Louisville bands, because everybody sounds badass.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, seriously.
100% grateful for you. Like, for real, that's like the first thing that anybody says about my band. Is like, dude, the sound quality is like crazy. And I'm like, yeah. Nah.
Everybody that played that Norma Jean show records with Joy.
100%, yes, but... yes.
That's great. So, yeah, and what inspires you guys with your music? Like, you seem to have like a very socially conscious vibe.
Yes. I just want people to think outside the box, or just like not so much believe everything that you're told and think for yourself, be an individual.
It's not as black challenge, and white.
It's not as black and white. There's a whole lot of gray shit out there. There's a ton of gray shit. Like, most of the shit's gray. But if you want to paint like, we're going to be completely honest. Most of the shit's gray. We're going to be completely honest. But if you want to paint it black and white, you're probably selling yourself short. I'll be completely honest. Just be an individual, think for yourself, and challenge things, if you will. Or question.
And rock and roll.
Yeah. Challenge everything, if you will.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's mostly what we want to, like, I mean, like, we're going to talk about things that, like, we want to stand up for, like, things that we believe in or, like, statements that we think should be made and talk about societal issues and, like, controversial things that need to be talked about. Like, I think that one thing that needs to be talked about right now, and I'm writing, like, concept lyrics and stuff for it, is homophobia.
And that Baja Blast. You're killing it.
Dude,
on
it's
that.
Gone.
It's gone, bro.
Is
it's toast. But, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No. One of the things that I think...
sorry.
We're... One of the songs that I'm writing right now for, like, this new stuff that we're working on that we don't really have anything tracked yet, but we're still writing stuff.
Right.
One of the concepts that I'm working on right now is homophobia and rap music, and I think that that's one of those things that kind of goes unchecked or kind of just, like, is something that's kind of been socially acceptable for such a long time, and I don't really know why or, like, why that's, like, the one genre where it's, like, okay in to be homophobic.
Yeah.
So, but it's things like that, stuff that I just want to talk about or just... Yeah.
You tell me, too, OTR, also off the record, OTR, you are a big fan of rap music.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Been your new, like, obsession lately.
100%.
Tell me all about what you like.
I love...
What are you into?
Okay. I'm going to outright say this. Migos is my favorite thing in the world right now. Migos is 100% my favorite thing in the world right now. Future is a close second. I know, like, people just love to hate this stuff, but, like... Subjectively, like, if some things, like, aren't just meant to have substance, okay? Like, some things are just meant to be fun for the sake of being fun, like, and that's really what it is they're just having a good time talking about shit they do. And I mean, like, it's like they're really living these lifestyles most of the time. Like, these people, like, have, like, a ton of money at this point and, like, are pretty much the rock stars of this generation. I don't know, it's just, like, it's fun. I enjoy it, if you will.
Yeah.
Or, like, it's kind of carefree or just kind of...
You know,
I don't know.
It's kind of funny.
Makes me feel good.
You brought that up. I actually was just listening to an interview not too long ago, and I can't remember who it was with, but basically they were just talking about, you know, a lot of people say, like, rock music is dead, rock is dead, whatever. But they're like, you know, the thing is, you know, with grunge or whatever, taking it back to that era, like in the 80s, it was all about being the big rock star. In the 70s, it was all about being the rock star. The 60s. But, you know, once the 90s rolled around and grunge basically were like, well, we want an anti-rock star.
Right.
But they were saying what that did was essentially it let the rappers and rap groups, they are the new rock star. They're the one talking about how badass they are. Yes. They're the one talking about how confident they are.
Right.
And they're the one with the money. They're the ones. Right. Like, and it's just basically a role reversal. But that the rock star still exists. The idea of it exists. It's just not in a rock and roll genre anymore. It's in the rap genre.
I want to do a philosophy. If I ever go for my doctorate in philosophy for some reason, I have that opportunity. I want to do it about the how meta it is that rappers rap about how they rap.
It's true.
That's pretty deep.
That's deep,
I mean,
man.
Yeah.
It's pretty Inception. Like,
on that same
they're
note,
rapping about how they rap.
That's, like, also, like, the one thing, the reason, like, I've come to find this, like, the reason why it's called, like, a rap game, if you will, or, like, I mean, like, that sounds like, like, I mean, like, it sounds like so, never mind. White people, what's up? We are uncultured. Hello. Okay. But, I get it now. Like, the reason why they call it the rap game is because it's a competition. It's the most competitive genre that there is. Like, it's the, like, and that's why I feel like that they are, like, the rock stars of today is because they are hungry for success.
Yeah.
And, like, everybody is trying to be the best, the number one. And, like, everyone is, they're all
so
trying
damn many.
To be, there's so many, but they all are trying to be the best, which is something to appreciate in itself, if you will, which I feel like is, like, I feel like that's, like, a quality that most people should have. You should want to be the best in everything that you do.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny, just in the way the world works. Not to get too out there or in thinking or whatever, but you know what? Let's just take the podcast take in that direction where, you know, everybody wants to have that participation ribbon.
Sure.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I think that we need to get back to being a little bit more competitive and hungry because it's the iron that sharpens the iron. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. That's what makes people great is having a competitive nature.
You gotta
nature.
Want it, man.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you gotta want it. You definitely. Gotta go get it.
And the thing is if you don't get it, it's people need to realize if they don't get it, it's because they didn't work hard enough
exactly.
to get it.
Exactly. 100%.
You know?
100% agree with that. If you and, work hard enough for something long enough, you'll get it.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
I feel like if you dedicate your life to something, you will eventually accomplish it.
Yeah. And I mean, any success that we ever had as a band came in the last few, after being a band for 10 years.
Right. You guys were around saying? For man, fucking ever.
Like, I mean, like, do you know how long, okay, let me just run this past you real quick. Do you know how long Bowling for Soup was a band before 1985 hit?
1985 is a cover.
I know that. I actually didn't hear that.
Cover too. Yeah.
They've probably been around since 1985. That's probably
they were around for a decade.
They were around for 11 years before that song hit.
That's well,
it's insane.
Bowling for Soup.
Bowling for Soup. And that was the only big song that they ever had, really.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
they had another
song
that was big and it was a cover also.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, there's just like something to say about sustaining, lasting longer than everybody else.
You gotta commit to it. Like, you gotta ride that wave for as long as you can.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to.
I mean, you know, you watch, like, you'll see people like boxers or something like that. Somebody that boxes, you know. The thing is you can have a dude that is so strong, he'll knock people out in the first round.
Yeah.
But if he can't make it to round five without
endurance,
getting.
Man.
Yeah, exactly. That endurance. I mean, a boxer that can take a hit.
Right.
Like Rocky Balboa. You know what I'm saying? A boxer that can take the hit and keep going round after round and outlast and outwork somebody else. I mean, that's just the same with the music business. If you can, or any business that you want to do, you know, if you can outlast everybody and keep taking the hits and keep moving forward.
Also,
that's what it's all about.
One thing that I wanted to say whenever we were on the topic of rock stars and rap music, if you will, we'll jump off the subject. Sorry.
Let's get right back on it.
Kendrick Lamar's new album is the greatest thing that's ever been released.
Oh, man. Did you hear that?
That's a
bold statement, sorry.
That's this ever been released
ever
or just in the rap game?
Okay.
In the rap game.
It's a very bold statement, sorry. Everybody should go listen to that album. It's a very, 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 very well put together and well thought out album. And there's a lot of conspiracy, or like, not conspiracy, but there's a lot of like fan theory like behind like the actual like concept of the album
itself. I'm into that.
Listen through it backwards as well. It makes more sense, too.
Walt Disney is actually Kendrick Lamar.
It's true.
He wasn't frozen under the theme park.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's also
the body of Kendrick Lamar.
Hey,
But no, dead
Stranger
ass.
Things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
No. Dead ass. Kendrick Lamar album. Real good. That U2, or the U2 feature is probably the best song on that album, too.
Yeah, so
which
I was
really concerned about that.
Y'all gotta quit hating on U2.
Yes.
People hate on U2 now.
Stop hating on
U2. I like U2.
We're talking about you, Dive Bomb.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you, Dive
Jake,
Bomb.
Look at you, Morgan.
Morgan.
I want to talk to you about U2, though. Speaking of marketing geniuses, you know, everybody hated the fact that U2 put that damn album on everybody's iTunes.
No, screw you. If I could put my album on your iTunes,
dude,
I'd do it too.
Smartest thing ever.
That's exactly what I was saying. Like, dude, if Apple came up to me and goes, hey, we're going to put your podcast on every single
phone
and
I'd be
ecstatic.
iPod,
would you be into that?
Out.
Yeah, yes. I would be definitely into that.
Please do that.
I would. You know what?
They're like, it's free, though. And I'm like, yes.
Even better.
Even better. Even better.
Oh, they don't have to pay for it? Even better.
Yes.
Right.
You know?
Give
oh.
it to them.
5 million people deleted it and they're pissed. Well, guess what?
There's still
30 other didn't.
Yeah.
Right.
Still making it happen.
Right.
Exactly.
We're fucking YouTube.
No, that's wild, man.
What kind of music are you into, Foster? You're into metal and hardcore, aren't you?
A lot.
For the most part?
Not for the most part, though. I listen to...
For the whole part.
Yeah, exclusively.
Exclusively metal.
Almost not exclusively metal most of the time nowadays. I listen to a lot of stuff. I'm really into like songwriters and things like that.
Yeah,
I'm into like classic funk and R&B and stuff from the 80s and 90s.
You throw some stuff my way, because I'm into that too.
Huge Michael Jackson fan, obviously.
So am I. We are literally standing in the shadow
I know.
Of a life-size Michael Jackson cardboard
cutout. I saw that when I came in. I'm a huge, huge, huge Michael Jackson
tour
fan.
Tour was mostly a
really,
Michael
really
Jackson
big.
Playlist. Yeah. The tour playlist
as it should have been.
No.
As it should be.
I'm not
even
mad about it at all.
No, my tour playlist was the best. I had Weird Al on mine also.
Oh.
The song Albuquerque, it's like 12 minutes long. That was on my playlist. Some Stevie Wonder on that playlist. What else was on there?
Here's good a tour stuff, tip dude. For you. Yeah, okay, if you have Spotify, you're going to want to look up Motown Complete Number Ones.
Oh, yeah. I've
the been box there. Set that came out.
I've been there.
But it's a 13-disc yeah. box set, and they've had over... They're like the most... They had the most successful record label, so they've had like
yeah.
over 200 number ones, and every definitely. Song is straight Drofire. Every single song is great. You just throw that thing on shuffle... And you're good, dude.
You yeah, can, no. You, go to, you can't. You
I just,
can
realized,
no
I just realized what you said. And you just like put two words together, dro and fire. And it's a dro fire.
It was straight. And I just say it in such a
passive way.
It was straight. How do you say a dro fire?
Right. That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's a good one, dude. I'm a big Michael Jackson fan also. Prince? Huge. Are you into Prince?
Not as much as I am Michael Jackson. I love Prince. Yeah, I love Prince. All the videos. Of Prince just telling people to fuck off on stage. Well, he'll be on stage with like Jeff Beck and like 30 Eric Clapton. Everybody will be on stage, and he'll pull, like play like an 11-minute guitar solo for the entire segment that all of them were supposed to play.
Yeah,
he just didn't give a shit.
Yeah,
if you messed up at one of his rehearsals, he had someone else. Literally, you mess up, he had someone in the hallway waiting to come in and take your part.
Oh, I guarantee it. I mean, if you're Prince,
one you mess up one time. I mean, there were albums where he recorded every instrument.
Oh yeah,
he's a.
I'm a big person. Prince fan. I will say I like Michael Jackson, prefer Michael Jackson also over definitely. Prince if people have to have that kind of debate.
Right, but I don't compare the two.
Not really.
One's a performer and one's more of like a serious musician.
I've never yeah. actually heard the two compared until now, honestly.
Really?
Oh, that's always been a thing. Oh, man, that's always
been a thing. Prince and Michael
Jackson.
Which
is ironic that I've never heard it before, because now that you mention it, I was like, why is that not a thing? But people yeah. talk right, about. No, that's no, it totally is a thing people talk about. It's dumb outside.
Yeah. But yeah. I just feel like Michael Jackson's music, you know, as an entertainer, the videos, the yeah. everything, much more accessible, much more consumable.
Yeah.
Whereas like Prince is always just kind of like, this is my music. I'm going to put out a shit load of it.
Right.
And some of it's going to be good, and some of it's not going to be all that great. And then, but you're still going to get it, but yeah. only on my terms.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
it's not like as accessible yeah. as. Right. Where exactly. MJ, like, his family's chomping at the bit to re-release a Greatest right, Hits album. Exactly. He gets a Greatest Hits album every year.
Right, you exactly. Know? Did you like, listen to that album they put out, the Escape album of the new songs?
I did listen
really
to it.
Really good.
Not too bad.
They did that cool thing where they had, like, all the original versions.
Yeah.
Then they had new producers come in and rework all the songs with the original vocal tracks.
Yeah.
And make them, like, their nice. Modern... songs. It was really cool. There I like that album a lot, actually.
There's actually a song on it called Slave to the Rhythm.
Yeah, that song's fantastic.
And when we recorded our first album, we recorded it with our producer worked for Def Jam mm-hmm. at the time. Well, had just left Def Jam.
That's sick.
And he was like, you're a Michael Jackson fan. He knew, you know, he saw my Michael Jackson tattoo, and he's like, I gotta show you something. And I was like, alright, cool. And he actually showed me the vocal track, because it was just vocal only, to Slave to the Rhythm, and this was in like 2010, vocals only. So you hear him, you hear, you know, MJ singing, but you also hear him like clapping and snapping right. and doing exactly. all like
the coolest thing.
Small vocal things in there, and it blew my mind. And then it
that's
came out
incredible.
You know
yeah,
five or
awesome
six years later
that.
On an album, and I was yeah. like, oh, this is it.
Shit, that's awesome that you got to hear that.
Did you see the MJ hologram?
Oh, of course,
man. Who would you want most to be hologrammed? Who would you pay the most money to see hologrammed?
Pay the most money to see hologrammed? Ooh.
Mm.
If they did a Beatles hologram or an Elvis hologram, I'd be all over that.
I don't give a shit about Elvis.
Elvis would be really cool, honestly, for me.
I'd like to see really a Biggie cool. one. A big
ooh.
Fan.
They did a Tupac hologram
yeah,
already.
Yeah, I did see that.
Tupac hologram has already been done. It's not as cool anymore.
It's not as cool anymore.
No.
It lost its...
I would like to see a Blues Brothers hologram.
Ah,
okay.
I would see a Blues Clues hologram.
Yeah,
I heard Steve died. No, I'm
yeah,
kidding. He
no,
didn't really
he's not
die.
Dead.
That was the
don't spread the lies.
That was the big conspiracy theory when
yeah,
I was a kid.
Definitely.
Steve died, bro.
No, I remember hearing that. He's
yeah,
addressed
man.
It on the internet.
Well, you haven't seen the Star Wars. Did you see Rogue One?
Well, of course.
Well, what do you think about it when
like
movies do the CGing of passed away celebrities that like? Because they CG'd Princess Leia and they CG'd
if I wouldn't have known,
Grand Moff Tarkin or whatever.
If I wouldn't
technology
have known that
is crazy,
Tarkin
man.
Is obviously dead because he was like fucking 80 when the original movie came out. Obviously very dead. If I wouldn't have known he was dead, I would have thought that was him.
Yeah, like and technology is so insane right now.
Man, I don't give a shit ethics for that. That's stupid. Put him in the movie. If his family's cool with it, that's a character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a real person.
It's just crazy to think that.
It's cool that they can do that, I think.
That could be like the next wave of the future. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could see a movie starring an actor that has been dead for, you know, you could see a movie with starring James Dean right now.
Black Mirror type shit we're talking about right now. Have you seen that show?
Oh, loved it.
Oh my gosh.
Love Black Mirror.
Such a good show.
I've only got to see a few episodes. But yeah, that's the problem. It does stress you out because you're just like, this is real.
I'm like, this could totally happen right now.
This is 100% based in reality.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Do I sound weird?
No, dude, you sound fantastic. How do you sound?
I sound weird in my headphones. How do you,
really?
Yeah.
Well, tell you what, guys.
It's all good, man. Don't worry about it.
Let me just drop this down for you a notch. First time in recorded history, the headphones have ever been too loud because I can't ever hear anything.
That's funny.
So, yeah. Well, yeah, guys. So, here we are. We're in the 45-minute mark.
Yeah.
Where are we going to go from here, bro? That's the real question. So, let's talk about, by the way, we meant to, I meant to bring this up earlier, but Justice for None.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about you recorded with Jordan Haynes. Justice for None. Sure. Is the name of the album.
Yes.
And you said it's been out for...
About a year.
Where can people find the album?
Anywhere. Anywhere that albums are typically found. So on Bandcamp, Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, iTunes.
All that shit.
All that shit.
Google Play.
Bandcamp YouTube. Would be the coolest place you can buy it because that goes straight to us and doesn't like take any fees or anything out or anything. But...
There's like a million Russian websites. Yeah, if you Google the name of the album, you can find it.
You can find it in more places to illegally download it than you can to actually purchase it. So however you get it, fuck it.
You can find it.
Go for it. Go for it.
What do you think about people downloading your music?
Go for it.
I'm for it.
Yeah, that's the way I felt about it too.
I'm 100% for it. The more people that hear it, the better. Yeah. That's how I feel. No matter how you hear it or in what context.
Right, yeah, I'm cool with it.
I mean, in certain ways, I'm just like, you know, I mean... I always want people to download my music because I just feel like I'm at a level where it's like, the money would be good, but I need you to listen to this.
Right,
I need your criticism and feedback,
right.
And I need you to like it or not like it and tell your friends about why you hated it or liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
However you get it, by any means necessary, that's fine with me.
Definitely.
But then I'm just like, you know, man, that probably sucks if you're like, you know, Justin Bieber and... You missed out on, you know, 10 million albums sold. But then I'm just like, why am I supposed to feel bad?
Justin Bieber makes $1 million a show. He can lick my butthole.
That's the thing. Like, that's the thing that like kills me about this is like the whole like concept of like making money from like actual record sales or like streaming services. Like, I've like discredited that like altogether at this point. Like, if we are to ever like make any like real money in this band, it will never, ever, ever be because of that shit.
You just gotta get a lot of fucking plays.
Yeah. I mean, like,
for anything to ever come financially.
And like even like the streaming service stuff, like they're still trying to get that regulated because you're making like a fraction of a penny for every stream or something like that. Like, it's not even like cents on a dollar. It's
right.
Like,
I mean, it kind of makes sense because if they were like throwing pennies for a play, that'd be a lot of money.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
We'd be a billionaire by now. Yeah. Well, you know, I heard
that. I'd have at least $5.
It'd be at least, man, be able to go get some Subway, man, get a foot long.
Subway wise.
As far as like album sales and like record sales or anything like that, it was like, that's like so far out of like my concern for like ever.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it'll just like never be a concern for me ever again, probably because of the digital age, honestly.
Yeah. Well, it's just one of those things though. Like, I mean, you need money to survive though. Cause that's the biggest thing. It's like, you can only tour out of your pocket by working your own side job for so long before you need to take it to a level where you make money.
Right.
Those are the people that are suffering.
It's the merch game.
Right.
Much like life in general.
Right.
It's not the people down here or the people up here that suffer so much. It's those people right in the middle, you know?
Yeah.
It's me.
And I mean, like, the one that is like a really like odd challenge like we're going through right now is like trying to find a way to like consistently like stay on the road, but also still like have money to like have your own place or have
lives.
The ability to pay a bill
or eat dinner
or like anything of the sort or like have money for anything.
It's the constant struggle in the rock game. Out in this rock game.
Yeah, dude.
See what I did there? I took the rap game thing, made it relevant to us.
Bro.
Time to play the game.
Exactly.
I like your band. I like your band too, bro.
I like your band. So, Foster, by the way, you know, Gene Simmons was an English teacher.
Yeah.
I didn't know musician. That. Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
See, here you are dogging on Kiss.
I mean...
Okay. OTR,
man,
dog
I have
it on
this
Kiss.
Conversation every day. A guy I work with has seen Kiss 37 times.
Yeah. Has he got a phone number? Maybe I'd like to hang out with that guy.
Yeah, dude. He's cool. He works at Maxwell's House of Music. His name is Mike. He's got a mohawk.
Mike with mohawk. Hey.
Mohawk Mike. That's what we call him.
That's sick.
So that's right down the street. All right, guys. Well, give out, I need the deets for all the listeners out there. Where can they find you guys? Where can they see you guys? I know you said out there on, you know, that your music is out there pretty much. It's Spotify.
We have the same handle for every account that we have. So like Twitter.
G-Warfare Band.
Yes, sir. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and also Bandcamp as well. It is G-Warfare Band on everything.
Yes.
No punctuation, no spaces, no bullshit. G-Warfare.
No bullshit.
Yeah.
That should be your next t-shirt. No punctuation, no spaces, no bullshit.
It actually reads out as Gwarfare Band. We get tagged, yeah, we get tagged in Gwar shit all the time on Instagram, and people are trying really to tag tight. Gwar in or something. So, mm-hmm. It's all great. I love it.
We'll be going on tour from the July 28th, it looks like, to the 11th of August with Repressed, Madtown, and Burned Book.
Yeah.
The names of the bands. I'm looking at it right here.
Cool. Oh, man.
On the flyer thing. Went on the to gram.
Gwarfare.
The old Gwarfare.
Gwarfare.
I guess there could be. That's a brilliant marketing scheme. Like, dude.
Oh, yeah. It's totally. It was my plan all along.
The plan all along, bro. We're going to tap into the Gwar market.
People just like have a really hard time spelling gorilla for some reason. Or like they're just they think it's the animal. So I'm just like, fuck, we'll just take it out entirely. We'll just leave it as a G.
Just leave it as Gwar.
There's some like dad. There's this band of like 50-year-olds Texas, in Tennessee, called Gorilla Warfare, like the fucking animal.
Like the animal.
And some dude got mad at us for having
this
name.
We've had multiple people get mad at
you
us.
You guys stole that name from Billy Bob in Tennessee.
Billy Bob in Tennessee, if you're listening.
Gorilla Warfare from Tennessee? No, it's fucking not. It's not even spelled the same.
This is Gorilla Warfare.
They play Motorhead.
Not Gorilla Warfare. What if people tune into the podcast? Listeners, if you tuned into this podcast thinking you're hearing Gorilla Warfare,
right? If you think you're hearing the dads from Tennessee,
those are not us. I apologize.
Just hit me up.
They have Razorback guitars.
They
I'm
do
not
have
cool
some.
For that.
They do have some sick like camouflage cowboy hats, though.
Yeah,
I do remember
I've
that.
Seen them.
It's
bro.
Badass, and the facial hair is on.
If you guys
want to
do a cowboy hat trade.
Yes.
You know our handle.
We don't
you
know do we
just
don't
spell
do
your name differently and you'll find us.
Yeah, we don't do merge trades anymore, but we will do cowboy hat trade
from now on.
Yeah.
And let me ask you a question. Who's your favorite singing drummer besides yourself? You don't see that very often.
Phil Collins.
Yeah. I heard Phil Collins today.
Fucking dude from the Eagles.
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
No, actually, well, I was going to say the most talented one that I've seen so far was probably Dean Castronovo for Journey, but he got into like a huge like law or like not lawsuit. But
are you thinking of Joe Walsh?
He got into like some
Don
huge
Henley.
Trouble.
Don
for
Henley,
like,
son,
for like beating his wife or something like that.
Oh,
so
shit,
fuck
not
that
cool.
guy.
Yeah,
not cool.
But he was really talented before he was
dude
a
from
fucking
Journey?
Dipshit. Yeah,
man, Journey's awesome.
Yeah, Journey's sick. Yeah.
Journey's not
I love
awesome.
Rock and roll. Journey is totally
man,
awesome.
Don't Stop Believing, literally my least favorite song.
That song sucks.
On the planet.
Lights? Are you kidding me, though? Lights.
Fun story. I went
it's
to eat
song.
Some hot wings just
ooh.
Moments ago.
Yeah.
And Journey played, followed by Phil Collins.
Yes.
And then they played John Mellencamp, another. I couldn't.
I love John Mellencamp. Man, I don't care what anyone says about him.
I don't mean for this.
John Cougar.
The end of this podcast really tails off into a weird direction, guys.
We're just talking about John Mellencamp
but let's,
right
let's
now.
Be honest here.
John
Mellencamp.
Scratch my John Cougar CD.
Is going to. Has a lyric in a song about a dude that's sucking on a fucking chili dog outside the Tasty Freeze.
He's probably talking about Polly's.
I'm
just, from around here, dude.
I'm just saying, man. Like, that's the best line.
It's not unlikely.
You're not sipping on a Diet
man,
Coke.
So,
no,
my dad.
You're sucking on a chili dog.
My dad.
Best lyric you can come up with, Cougar?
My dad is convinced that John Cougar Mellencamp is the greatest songwriter of all time. And whenever we listen to John Cougar Mellencamp,
we've had this conversation.
My dad. Like, he'll sing a line, like, so don't you know, that's how days freeze. And then my dad will repeat the lyrics back, like that, like I didn't understand it. He's like, R-O-C-K in the USA. My dad's like, rock in the USA, right?
Yeah.
He, like,
you know
explains,
what I'm saying?
He just
you know
restates the lyric after John Mellencamp sings it. Like, it's supposed to have some big philosophical, like,
dude,
Bob Dylan
did you hear
meaning
what he said
twist
my
behind
dad,
it.
My dad literally does the same shit, but with Van
like
Halen
Ernest
songs.
Ernest Hemingway.
With Van Halen songs and Brad Paisley songs. Honestly, dead ass.
Dude,
my dad
Paisley plays same great
shit.
Guitar.
Man. Oh, yeah. He's a good fan.
He's a shredder.
Yeah.
Shredder.
Shout out Keith Urban, Brad Paisley. Shredders. Low-key.
Low-key
not even low-key. High-key.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your dad's probably just like, did you hear what he said? I brought my pencil.
Yeah.
Huh?
Give me something to write on.
All right, guys. Well, hey, thanks so much for stopping in here on a Sunday and having a couple beers with me and having a good conversation with me. And I want my listeners out there, definitely check out Guerrilla Warfare, G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A.
R-R.
Double R. Double R.
Hold on, check.
Double L-A.
Watch me. What did I say?
Run it back. You said one R.
No, I didn't.
Guys,
I thought you totally
it's
said one
G
R.
Warfare Band on everything, so it's nice and easy.
G-U-E-R-R-I-L-L-A.
G-U-E-R-R-I-L-L-A.
Yes. Hooked on Phonics.
See, I think you were...
G Warfare Band.
That's exactly how I would spell it, and that's basically what I said.
People
I'm pretty
say
sure.
Warfare. They put think, W-A-R-E-F-A-R-E.
Look,
like,
guys.
Where do you get off? Just,
where do you get
this
off?
This is a sensitive subject for us.
Yeah.
G-U-E-R-I...
Fed up.
We're fed up.
R-R-I-L-L-A. Maybe I did it one R. Fuck it. You know what? This is my podcast. I'm going to edit that shit to where it sounds great.
Yeah.
Guys, check out Guerrilla Warfare, G-U-E-R-R-I-L-L-A, Warfare, W-A-R-F-A-R-E, Guarfare.
Guarfare.
Band.
Band at gmail.com.
.org.
Shit.
At gmail.org.
We're out there. You'll find us.
Yeah. Fuck it, man. We'll do it live. All right, guys. Yeah, thanks for tuning into the Sean vs. Wild podcast. Check out all the latest episodes every Tuesday. That's going to be on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, wherever you get your podcast, dude. And it's also on YouTube. I don't know if people want to watch a video of a podcast, but whatever. It's there too.
Throw some animations or something in the background. Just like.
Yeah, man.
Probably like throwing some hot, or like, ooh, we'll put in an animation of a guy sucking a chili dog or something like that.
Yeah,
that will be, yes. This is a video of a man sucking a chili dog for 60 minutes.
Shout out to Tasty
Sean Cougar.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in to the Sean vs. Wild podcast.